Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and we're going to be doing part 34 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. When you have God's life living in you, you become part of the church, which is called the body of Christ. There are many members in the body of Christ, and we're going to read a little bit about that from the Word of God today, and then also, if you'd like to order this tape or CD, you just ask for tape or CD number 136, or you can just call it program 136, but please just specify as to whether you want a tape or a CD. We have several letters here, some from the United States and elsewhere, but right now let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint this service. Heavenly Father, Lord and God, we thank and praise Your holy name for Your Holy Spirit. Lord, let Your Holy Spirit anoint me outwardly so that every word that proceeds from Your mouth on this broadcast be right from Your mouth through mine. Lord, that the church may be edified and that souls will be saved, I ask it in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, so where's the first letter from?
From Andhra Pradesh, India.
Okay.
Greetings to you in Jesus' name. I have received your literature and cassettes, which are very helpful to our church ministry. So far, we have never listened to messages like this, also literature more meaningful. Every word is more worthy than gold or money. We are so happy to receive your literature and cassettes. I would like to introduce our ministry that we are having of 350 believers and the team of pastors who are working in different villages. Our head church is damaged, which is made thatched, so we are looking to construct a building. We decided to work in our state of Andhra Pradesh to reach many unreached villages. I am sending our ministry pictures. Thank you for sending your literature and cassettes. We are praying for your ministry. I wait for your kind reply. Thank you, sir. Signed, Reverend Penkavara from Andhra Pradesh, India.
Yeah, we get letters from all over the world, and then we get these pictures that they send us, and they're standing out in front of the church, and it has a big sign out there saying, Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, and they're distributing the literature, and they say souls are being saved. Like you wouldn't believe. You just wouldn't believe it. Okay, praise the Lord. But believe it, that's happening, because we're getting letters from them. And the next letter, please.
From Malaita Province, Solomon Islands.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Reverend Tony Alamo, greetings to you in the name of our Savior and King, Jesus. It is hard for me to express to you in any means but God. I am from the Solomon Islands in the South Pacific. It's a nation with many troubles and corruption, a paradise in a fallen state. Yet God will heal it one day with His mighty power. Reverend Tony...
Yeah, and His power is Jesus, because God wouldn't have any power without Jesus. And what I mean by that is that God sent Jesus into the world as His power. Power for what? Power, He gave Him the ability, because He was begotten by the Holy Spirit, so He had God's power, God Himself, in Him. And this human body of Jesus was able to keep all the commandments. And therefore, by doing so, the blood that He shed on the cross gives everyone in the world the power to have the sins that they've committed in their life, the former sins, washed away in the precious blood of Jesus. And then after Jesus gave up the Spirit, He went into hell for 3 days and three nights. And then after that period of time, He rose from the dead. He rose out of hell, rose from the dead, walked out of the tomb. And then for 40 days, He was ministering here and there. And then even allowed one of His disciples to put Thomas, who doubted that the Lord had really risen. Jesus said, look, I'm not a spirit. Okay, He walked right through a wall, right through a door without opening it. He said, but I'm not a spirit. He says, stick your finger in my hands where the holes from the nails were placed, and stick your hand in my side where it was pierced by a spear, and you'll see, maybe you'll believe then that I am risen from the dead. But then Thomas said, my Lord and my God. I believe he put his fingers in the holes in his hands and thrust his fist into his side, and then he got down on his knees and said, my Lord and my God. And then a few days later he saw him ascend into heaven in a cloud, and he stated that he would return. He also stated that when he's going in heaven, what he's going to do now, he's going to be the life-giving spirit, and that spirit of his can enter into us and give us the same power that he had to not sin, to where we can be living examples of Christ living, or God, Christ with his Father by the Spirit, as the Spirit living in us, as he did with Jesus. Even though we're human beings, we also are God human beings, God men and women, because God's with us all the time. Christ, his Father, by the Holy Spirit are involved in us. And so we preach the gospel, but God, we don't say anything unless it's God saying it through us, because it's meaningless for us to hear from humans, just mere humans. The people that we want to hear from are humans that have Christ with his Father by the Spirit living in them. And then when it's the Spirit of God talking to us, then we know, as this person stated in the letter, that each word is more precious than gold. Amen?
Amen.
More precious than rubies and diamonds, because it's from the Lord. We cannot speak as I do on these tapes unless it be the Lord. I just am not that good at speaking. Now, when the anointing is not on me, I don't talk that much. But the Lord compels me to study and talk, or let my mouth be used by his mouth, his Spirit. His Spirit cascades down from the throne of God. It, like, flows into me and through me. And he'll do the same thing with you. The Lord lives in many mansions. He lives in many people. Jesus said, I'm not the only one. In my Father's house, where my Father dwells, is many humans, many mansions, many human vessels. Amen?
Amen?
Many temples. Know you not that you're the temple of God, and God wants to live in you? And wants to work in you, and he has the right to do it, because he is the one that died for you. He paid for your soul, your spirit, to be saved. And therefore, it's our reasonable duty to allow him to do whatever he will with us. Amen?
Amen.
And if we fight that, well then, you know, we're just acing ourselves out of the kingdom of heaven and making it without a doubt that we're going to spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire. So the way to please God is to let him live in you. Some people say, well, the way to beat God. You don't beat God. The only way that they say you can beat him is to comply with him. Well, that isn't beating God. That's complying with him, and causes you to beat the devil. Because Satan wants you to spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire with him, but the Lord wants you to spend eternity in heaven, in splendor, with him, and with ecstasy, and every perfect thing. And you'll be perfect there if you do that. Now, you want to let the Lord use you. And the Lord tells us to do that while we're young. I'm glad that I got in. This happened to me when I was 30 years old. And I've been in the ministry 41 and a half years now. And I just wish that, it's a stupid wish, but I would that I would have, this would have happened to me when I was 10 or 8 or something like that. But the Lord knows the perfect time. I was totally embittered by the world, And I was sick and tired of life. I was bitter as you could get. And then the Lord showed me that he existed. And that was the most beautiful thing to me in the whole world, to know that God exists. And that Jesus looked upon me as bitter and hateful as I was. The Lord loved me. And that's why I say, and the Bible says, that the most powerful force in the whole universe is loving your enemy. Love, not love is not lust, love is not sex, but love is to keep the commandments of the Lord, so that because we have the power of God in us to do it, and it just doesn't make any sense at all to not do it. Amen?
Amen.
So what we need to do is just let the Lord live out his life through us. We want him to live his life in us and through us, so that other souls, so that he can deal with other souls in the world through us. And if we're merciful enough to other people by allowing God to do this, then God will be merciful unto us on the day of judgment. Won't that be wonderful? To know how to have God's mercy given unto you on the day of judgment. I mean, there isn't any lust on the face of this world that could compare with the peace and tranquility that you can receive, that you will receive by allowing the Lord to use you to give up your old former life, not to God, just lay it down, let it be nailed to the cross, and let God have you instead of Satan. Satan's had you all your life, all of us. But now let's God. Let God have his way, so that you'll be sowing, letting him sow mercy through you. And that way you're going to, God will be well pleased with you and say, come in, my good and faithful servant. I'm so pleased with you. But we can't do it on our own. We have to have this merciful, loving God live in us and through us, because we don't have any mercy or love in us unless God is in us. And let him shine through us. He's the light of the world, and we are too. We're like lamps that have been given this light from the powerhouse above, and we become lights of the world as well, because of the light of God, the light of Jesus, and with his Father, by the Spirit living in and through us. So, you know, and you say, well, you can't do it in this day and age. I've done it for 41 and a half years, and I know people that have been in the ministry even longer than I have. And some of them are have done it. It's all up to you. If you want to go to heaven, then you'll do it. If you don't want to, I mean, if you're looking for a way out, there's no way out. There's only one way to enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
And that's the way that you're going to hear me telling you about. Now, I guess we could finish these letters. This is the second one?
Yes.
Okay, let's hear it.
Reverend Tony, I was admitted into one of our hospitals for 1 week. During that week, one of my friends gave me two of your world newsletters, The Real Thing, The Real Deal, and also Hearing God's Prompting. Your messages are really powerful and effective. Anybody can read them and feel a real touch. Reverend Tony, I would like to put my request to you, like other brothers and sisters did. I have 60 students in my Sunday school, 9 seniors, 12 juniors, and 20 primary students, and 19 kindergarten pre-class. I would request Bibles for the seniors and juniors only. The other classes you could provide what is suitable for them. I would also like to become a member of the world newsletters of the Alamo Christian Ministries and other literature. Thank you for your humble heart for me. I know it will cost you a lot, but for a single soul that returns to Christ, there is much rejoicing in heaven because of your help. Thank you for accepting my request. I do hopefully wish to receive it as soon as possible. May God give you the means and support you in every way and every place. Amen. May God bless your team. Yours sincerely in Christ, Hophni from Malaita Province, Solomon Islands.
Well, thank you very much, and yes, you know, when you allow the Lord to use you here on this earth, when you're in heaven, these people that you let God use you to win to the Lord will see you on the streets of heaven of the Golden Streets there, and they're going to thank you. They say, praise the Lord for you, brother or sister. It's because of you that I'm here. Yeah, I know it's because of Jesus, but it's because you laid your life down and let him use your physical body to live in and live through. And through you, your preaching, your teaching. I'm here today, and I know that I'm in heaven forevermore, and I'm never going to die. I'm never going to get old. I'm never going to get sick. I'm never going to be disfigured. I'm going to stay the same age all these years. And you look like you're about 17 years old, only better than you ever looked in your life. Way better. And you're so happy and very satisfied with the way you look. If you lost limbs or anything on your body, if anything was deformed, you're perfect in heaven, because there's no imperfection in heaven. Everything is perfect there. Even the way you smile, the way you look, the way you arch your eyebrow, the way you look, you see. My eyes are really, my regular eyes are in pretty bad shape here on this earth. It doesn't bother me a bit, though, because my spiritual eyes are wide open and I see everything. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right, now where's the next letter from?
From Annandale, Virginia.
But in heaven, I'm going to see perfect. The Lord showed me that. He showed me walking, and it looked like an animated character, and it looked like I was puffed up. But it wasn't. It's just it's not arrogance. I looked like I was extremely arrogant there. My hair was silver, and my face was gold. My skin was gold. And I'm telling you, I don't think that there's anybody that looks better than I do. But then when I looked at Sue, I didn't think anybody looked better than her. And when I look at you in heaven, I won't think anybody looks better than you either. Because everybody is just, but there was a glint that came out of my eye. Like it was the Lord showing me, your eyes will be perfect up here. For some reason, I don't have perfect eyes here. And I know that everything is of the Lord. So no matter what you're going through, you know a lot of people that don't have arms and legs. If you did, or maybe your face is disfigured on this side of eternity, if it were beautiful, and if you were so beautiful, chances are you'd go out and sin, and people would go after you, and you wouldn't be able to handle the temptation. But the Lord lets us be the way we are. Possibly I'd see something that would cause me to lust, you know, and I don't. And I thank God, you know, I don't know why the way it is that I am. Maybe it's that wouldn't happen, but maybe it's because of the fact that so many people say, I don't have time to read the Bible. And they've got 20/20 vision here. I'm extremely busy running all these hundreds of churches all over the world, but I have to take time to read. And I have a reading machine that magnifies words maybe 100 or 200, 300 times. And I do it because all things are possible. If you really wanted to read the Bible, if you really wanted to study it and really prove all things by reading the Bible and be able to have the Spirit of God in you, you could do it. I mean, way better than I can. But I do it because I know it's possible. And even when I didn't have a magnifying glass or anything and I was in prison for the gospel, yes, I was one of the chosen ones to go to prison, like Jesus, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, and all the other apostles and the prophets and millions of other true born-again Christians that have been slaughtered, have been put in prisons in Rome and fed to the lions and slaughtered. It could be that the Lord let this happen to me just to show that the people that don't read and pray and do the things that they're supposed to do, that if I can do it, why can't you? Amen?
Amen.
Because they know that even when I was in prison, I couldn't read, but I'd have people read to me. Fortunately, I had a little bit of money, and I'd buy them an apple, or some of them want candy bars or something like that, and I'd say, I'll get it to you if you read to me from the Bible. And some of them would write down the things that I was saying. okay, here I would explain the Bible, and then it'd be written up, and then I'd do the message over the phone. Or the Lord would just anoint me, and I'd bring the message over the phone, or I'd mail it in to the office. They'd type it up and send it out as a piece of literature. And so, you know, it's possible, even at nighttime, when there was no lights on in the prison, I had a little stub of a pencil, and the Lord had told me to write. Well, I couldn't see, but I could feel. I could just print the words by feel. I can just make an R in on the paper, and or J, E, and, you know, and so on and so forth, and G, O, D, P, A, U, L, and it's very easy. And my writing is very tiny when I do it that way. But they said they could read that better than when I was looking to do it. They said, is that right?
You're right.
That's so funny, you know. It's miraculous, right? So we can do it if we really want to. And so there'll be no excuses at the judgment bar of God. Well, I'm blind, I can't do it. Well, then get a tape recorder and then get somebody in there to read to you. Okay? It works, okay? And then if you want to write, you can't talk, maybe you're something happened where you can't talk. Well, you can sure write. You don't have any fingers or something. Listen, pray God will make a way, all right? I know some guys that can write with their feet. I've heard of it. They even sew with their feet and everything else. Sometimes it looks like they did it with their feet, but at least they get something done, right? Okay, now what's the rest here?
Dear sir, I heard your wonderful program on WWC.
Where's this one from?
From Annandale, Virginia.
Okay.
I heard your wonderful program on WWCR this morning. Thanks for your teaching. Bless you for being on the air. Sincerely, Mark from Annandale, Virginia.
Well, praise the Lord, Mark. Brother Mark, glory to God. If you need any literature, let me know, or any of these tapes, and we'll send it to you absolutely free of charge. Then what else?
Next one's from Los Angeles, California. I would like to receive the book, The Messiah. Walking by on Hollywood Highland, I got your bulletin about earthquake. I am impressed. Also, how people are giving the literature out on the street. It's wonderful. The shirts they are wearing are something material, but it all belongs to God. It's beautiful.
Yes, our people are on the streets all over the United States and the world, in New York, and then we have several hundred distributors here in the United States, and hundreds or maybe even thousands of them around the world distributing this literature. We send it to them by the pounds. Tons of literature go out. Then what?
I am 17 years old.
So this one was on Hollywood Boulevard, right here in Los Angeles. And God, that's where most of our people were won in the ministry, was on Hollywood Boulevard, believe it or not. We were advertising when we were on TV for 10 years that now this Hollywood has become the Bible Belt, amen, mm-hmm. instead of down south. We're in Southern California, right? Then mm-hmm. what else?
I am a little confused about homosexuality.
Well, don't be confused about it whatsoever. Some people say they were born homosexuals. That isn't true. But even if it were, that's the reason why you need to be born again by the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
That's why you need to become part of a member of the body of Christ, the church. Because if there was a homosexual demon in you, and they are demons, they flee when you invite Jesus into your heart. Every devil, every demon, every kind of a devil or demon, drugs, whatever, they leave your body immediately, because the Lord Jesus Christ with his Father by the Spirit will not live in a vessel where the devil is. And so when he comes, then he's the most powerful force in the universe. God is love, and love is the most powerful force in the universe, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son for us. He lived in him, and he died in him on the cross. You say, well, how could God die? God, the Spirit in that person of Jesus, died on the cross, but the Spirit goes on. So his Spirit went into hell of that individual, a human, Jesus, God, human. And then he came up from the dead, because the God was in him. And God can be in hell, in heaven, in you, in millions of other people. He's everywhere. He's sitting on the throne in the kingdom of heaven, and the heavens can't even contain him. He's so big, so huge. But it's nothing for him to be in a human being. He created the universe, and yet he's small enough to live within everybody's heart. Amen?
Amen.
To live within everybody's spirit. And he created the moon and the sun and the stars, and he also created little tiny, pretty little flowers. Amen?
Amen.
Little bluebells that I used to see on the hills in Montana, and little daffodils and pansies and orchids. I would actually see orchids in the mountains in Montana, and sunflowers and all the different variety of flowers that the Lord created. And he's a beautiful God. He's a God of love. He loved us so much that he died for us. And then on the other hand, if we don't receive that, we're sending our own souls into a burning inferno, and we die there forever. We just keep dying every moment, and it never stops, though. And it's horrible. And it's God set it up that people that reject his love must want misery. They must want death. All those that hate me, God said, love death. They love, and the smoke ascends up forever and ever. But let me hear the rest of this letter from the man on Hollywood Boulevard.
I would like that God can illuminate my thoughts and change them.
Yes. Well, homosexuality, God hates that sin. He hates every kind of sin. And to illustrate that, he poured out fire, brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. And these are very filthy individuals. God said to be fruitful and multiply. This is just one aspect of not being homosexual. He said to be fruitful and multiply. How could anyone be fruitful and multiply if the women were married with women and men with men? I realize that the satanic powers that be in this world today are wanting to stop population. But the Lord says, be fruitful and multiply. They say, but the earth is overcrowded. No, it isn't. Less than one half. This is a lie out of the pit of hell, out of Satan's mouth. Less than one half of a percent of the earth is populated. Get in an airplane sometime and fly over the United States or anywhere else in the world, and you'll see that 99.9% of the land, or even more than that, is unoccupied. There's plenty of room, there's plenty of water, there's plenty of soil, there's plenty of seeds to grow food. And if the satanic antichrist government would not pay farmers billions of dollars every year to not grow food, if he'd pay them billions of dollars to grow the food, then we'd be able to feed every hungry person on the face of this earth and also clothe them and give water for them. This government is spending billions of dollars on wars. Why don't they spend, you know, if they were of the Lord, they would spend money on creating an environment on this earth. They know how to stop smog and pollution and all these things. You know, there's a man that gave me the formula of perpetual motion, where you could generate electricity off of the ocean waves. What it is there's buoys and rafts out on the ocean, and there's an armature on the raft, and the waves keep bobbing up and down and generating electricity from this armature that goes off of the raft. And then there's wires going from there on shore, and the energy is stored in tanks. And the whole city of Los Angeles could be provided with a pollution-free energy from the perpetual motion and, incidentally, the free motion. Absolutely no-cost motion, just the initial cost of getting the rafts and the armatures and the wires and the storage tanks. It would be absolutely free. I brought this to the Chamber of Commerce out in Newhall, and I thought they were going to kill me. This is the Antichrist government that doesn't want you to know these things. And they've had cars that were totally no pollution for years, over a half a century now. They know so much, but the greedy people in this world that are involved with oil and other forms of energy, they are just satanic people. Their whole life is evolves around what they call the almighty dollar. Let me finish this. But to see, homosexuality is not of the Lord. So you shouldn't be confused about that issue at all. In the first chapter of Romans, it tells us that these people, homosexuals, men that lie with men, women with women, the unnatural use of women, is these people are worthy of death. And that's an eternal death in the pit of hell and the lake of fire. So don't be deceived. Believe God. Because God is the one that created the entire earth and created all the little flowers and created you and me and every living thing, even every blade of grass, every leaf on a tree, every tree, every piece of fruit God gives us every day, and the water and the land that has life in it and seeds that have life in it when it's sown into the land. God has it all, and it's all being provided for you if you'll just receive it. And don't do homosexuality or fornication or adultery or anything like that, because all you're doing is ruining your life. You're ruining your life forever. Your life should be, must be, actually the life of God. Our life is temporal, and until our life is mingled with God's Spirit, which is eternal life, we don't have eternal life. You may say, well, I think I can get into heaven by just being a good person. You're the worst person in the world if you reject God's life, Jesus with his Father, by the Spirit living in you. You cannot enter heaven. That's the ticket into heaven, is to have God's life living in you and to die out to your life and let God live through you. And you can do that. You've got to learn the Bible. And don't use any of these new Bibles, because they're government Bibles that say that the powers that be are the secular government, and that's false. The powers that be are the ministers of the gospel. We are the ones that have the powerful word. Why is the word so powerful? Because God sent his Son into the world, and he says, the law came by Moses, but power and truth came by Jesus. And the reason that God, Christ, is power is because there's no other power that can get you into the kingdom of heaven other than through Christ. So that's why Christ is God's power for us. We have no power to escape sin or lust, but if God's power, which is Christ, with him, with the Father, by the Spirit living in us, then we have power to overcome sin and power to enter heaven. That's the only power that there is available in the universe to make it possible for us to enter heaven and stay out of hell in the lake of fire. So, grace and truth, in other words, power, God's power, by God's grace or God's power and his truth, we shall become more than conquerors in this world and in the world to come. Okay, then what?
My close family believe that Jesus is God. Can you help me? Signed, Jay from Los Angeles, California.
Well, God in me and through me can sure help you, that's for sure. And your family is right. They believe in Jesus, but there's more to just believing in him. If you believe his word and you let him live his word out through you, then that's power. And that's what the Bible says. So just saying, yeah, I believe in Jesus, that's not enough. We have to let that belief go, get into action. You have to let God loose, to release yourself into his hands so he can just use you. He can sweep through the earth with you and make you a very well-known person, and he can also make you a very popular person. He says that you might be popular and yet not known at all, because they don't recognize you as a person of God. And some people will believe you and some people will not. Not everybody believed in Jesus or God. But we still must endure, let God in us give us the power to endure scorn and character assassination and trials and tribulations and persecutions. And if you'll allow yourself to just do that, knowing that the storm is going to be over one of these days and you're going to be happy that you didn't jump off the boat when the storm was happening. You just got to hang on to a pipe or something. Well, that pipe is Jesus, amen?
Amen.
You got to hang on to him, and he's the ship. Noah's Ark was the type of Jesus. You have to be on board. You have to be in Jesus in order to be saved, and Jesus has to be in you with his Father by the Spirit. Then what else?
That was the end.
Okay, well, now we'll, whatever time is left, get into how to have God's life living in you, part 34. We're going to tell you how to order this tape at the end of the program. Tape number 136 or CD. Program 136 or CD or tape 136. Now what? Now, where are we at here?
About Christians and withered members of the body.
Okay, well, let's read this portion in the Bible or that I found here. Somebody else wrote this, not me, but go ahead and read it, because I preach this all the time and it's always refreshing to me to see people that really know the truth. So go ahead and read it.
The church in the New Testament is called the body of Christ.
Okay, so it was called the tabernacle in the Old Testament, but the tabernacle in the Old Testament was a figure, a type, or a symbol of where God will live, and that is our bodies. So the New Testament, the church, or the place where God dwells, is not in a man-made tabernacle, but is in us. Know you not that you're the body of Christ, that you're a temple of God, and that you don't belong to yourself, because God paid for you, paid for your salvation. So you need to lay your old life down and just serve the Lord. Let the Lord work in and through you. Okay, so the church in the New Testament is called the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And so we have to be in him, and he has to be in us, because he's our temple in heaven, and we have to abide in him here, and he resides in us. It's a mutual situation where he lives in us and we live in him. Okay? And so, keep going.
The church in the New Testament is called the body of Christ and reflects the spiritual organism of the whole church on earth.
Right. So, it's a spiritual situation. It's not a carnal situation. The Bible says that there's one Spirit, one God, one Savior. Amen?
Amen.
And so if we're in the Spirit of God, then we belong to the church. It's a corporate body of people that have God, have Christ with God the Father living in them by the Spirit. And that's called the church, the real church. It has nothing to do with tabernacles or buildings that have been made by man. That's why a lot of people that belong to these large religions, they're so proud of this big, immense tabernacle that they built for millions of dollars. But they don't have God. They don't have Jesus, because it's all big pipe organs and a statuary all over the place. But realize one thing, that Jesus never had such a place. He went into a simple Jewish synagogue now and then to preach, but most of his preaching and teaching was done on hillsides, on mountainsides, and he himself was born in a stable, in a manger. He was not born in Jerusalem, where the religious people were. He had nothing to do with religion. The religious people didn't even come to see him when he was born. And there were signs and wonders of his birth, but just the common people came and visited him. Three wise men. And wise men means that they feared God, because wiseness is fear of God. The beginning of wisdom is fear. Fear is the beginning of wisdom. Amen?
Amen.
And fear is wisdom, the Bible tells us. It's the fear of God. Well, we're not supposed to fear. No, we are to fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of God. This is in the book of Ecclesiastes. Amen?
Amen.
But you're not to fear Satan. If you fear God, you don't have to fear anybody else. Fearing God means that you don't, you know that you dasn't. You know that you better not stop letting Him use you. Because the fear there is that you'd go to hell and the lake of fire. That's the fear. Well, we don't fear God because we've never done anything wrong. If you don't accept His Son, God's Son, with His Father, the whole Godhead, the God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit into you, then you're chaff. You don't amount to anything. You're going to burn. You're not going to make it. Okay, then what?
When the local church is called the body of Christ.
Now, the local church means the churches here and there, everywhere, the real church. They're not buildings, but just people that have God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit living in them. Then what? That's the church. It has nothing to do with tabernacles or buildings. You say, well, you come to my church? Well, I'm the church. Anyone that has the Spirit of Christ with His Father by the Spirit in them are the churches, the tabernacles of God. But we all go to a gathering place. You call it the gathering place, amen, where we gather together, the church. And the Bible states that the church, which is all the people in the that have the Spirit of God in them, they go together. They have to communicate one with another. They have to abide with one another. They have to give the testimonies of the things that happen that God does in and through them during the day. So it edifies the church. It keeps you knowing that God is alive and on the move. It shows you that, wow, this happened to this person today, and here's what happened to me, and you get up and testify. If you don't testify of the Lord when you're in church, you get up and say, well, I did this and I did that. That isn't testifying for the Lord, but you let the Lord testify through you. Like when I'm out in the public, there'll be things that'll happen to me, and I know that it's a move of the Lord, and souls will be saved, or I'll pray somebody through, or I'll pray for somebody, and they'll be healed. That is the testimony of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
It's the Lord that did it. Like saying, Buster does that all the time. He just loves to go out to and deal with the publicans and the sinners and to testify. And he's very bold to do it, just as any of the people in the Bible were. And like I am as well. I will testify boldly not only on the streets but on radio, television, anywhere I've got an opportunity that I know it's an open door from the Lord. Now, there's some people that want to just get you on their television programs to bring accusations against you. They'll bring a lot of people that have been in the church and they had to be removed from the church because they want to be on drugs or they want to fornicate or be on liquor, alcohol, things like that. So you put them out. And then the government and the media take them and get them on a TV program or radio program to talk bad about you. Then they have to try to invite, then they invite you on there, and they'll start telling you, asking questions. And then here's this gang of demonic, because they've let Satan enter their body, even after they've been saved. And the Bible tells of the great falling away. And they'll just bring every kind of lie, and it's just almost impossible to answer it. So you don't give the devil a platform to speak out. If they want to speak out against you, I would get invitations by the tons. And I tell them, I'll go on the air if it's live. Because one time I was on the air with a man named Teddy Bart. His real name is Theodore Bartholomew. Teddy Bart. He asked me, Tony, are you a cult? And I said, no, Teddy, but you are. But then when they ran the program, it showed the back of my head and Teddy Bart sitting in front of me. He says, Tony, are you a cult? And they cut my words off, and it was just like as if I was sitting there. And so they undermine you. And when the government had me in court on one of the cases that I won, I've been in the court about 100 times, and I won 99 of them. And just because of all these false witnesses that are planning to go on television against me again, the same ones that testified falsely against me on that Internal Revenue Service case. But they go in there and lie. And then they say, you can't mention God. You can't mention any of the good things that you've done, any of the ways that you've blessed people. So if you do that, then we're going to bring this string of false witnesses in on you. So we don't have a real court system in this country. It's a kangaroo court. And we know that the media is Satan's mouth. They say, well, we want to give you a fair opportunity. All these liars are going to come up here and say that you're doing this or that. And they don't just do it to people. It's primarily born of the spirit Christians that are exposing government and things like that. And they don't do it just to them, but anytime you see them just coming down horribly against somebody, I immediately figure that that person is all right. But when they're exalting somebody, you know that it's somebody from the Vatican or something like that. But at any rate, if you're of the body of Christ, you're not going to worry about that sort of stuff because the Lord will defend you. You just stay in the Spirit, and whatever happens, you know, you just let it go and just keep preaching and teaching and getting the word out. Don't let it fluster you. I'm saying this because I am pastoring thousands of pastors, and I know that you're getting the same problem because you're getting the literature out. And don't let anything shake you or separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Okay, so let's finish the rest of this reading.
When the local church is called the body of Christ, the spiritual aspect is emphasized.
Yeah, it's just because the body is together by the Spirit. The body of Christ is not a bunch of carnal people gathering together in a huge temple or that have great big choirs or jazzy type singers or people that's doing the watusi or something on the stage and shaking themselves around in a sensual manner, but it's the Spirit of God. If you can't see the Apostle Paul doing the hoochie coo or Jesus doing the hoochie coo or the watusi up there on the or one of these vile looking dances, well, then you know it's not of the Lord. Yeah, stuff like this. You know, that's not of the Lord, right? Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. If you're talking to Jesus like that, he's liable to slap you one right in the face. Okay? Or you start doing that dance, you'll be dancing in hell forever, okay? You better get off that, you people. They're saying they got Child's Christian TV, and they're up there doing dance routines and stuff, you know, and all in unison and wearing, acting extremely sensual. And this is not the Lord. So don't pay any attention. Just turn that off. It'd be better that you switch it off and turn to Bozo the Clown, all right? Because at least that Bozo is not portraying himself to be a Christian, because God hates the people that are portraying themselves as Christians that are dancing and singing and everything like that, like devils. And then you hear these guys saying, oh, Jesus, it's the blue, you the thumb, boom, boom, or, you know, this rap stuff. That's supposed to be Christian rap. Can you imagine Jesus getting up on the mountainside and going back and forth like that? Or the Apostle Paul, or Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Well, then, for God's sake, wise up, okay? And turn that off. Turn on Lassie or somebody else, all right? Because what they call Christian TV today, to me, is demonic. Okay, extremely demonic. Okay, now what else?
Illustration. As the church is considered to be the body, so individual members are seen as parts of the body. For any church to function properly...
Well, parts of the body. The Bible says that we're members of the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So we are a part of the body of Christ. Well, if we say, is it our body? Then no, it says it's Christ's body. Christ is living in us, and therefore it's a body of Christ put together by his Spirit. He lives in that body, not in tabernacles made of, by man's hands. And he's the head, and he's also the body. And so we're living in his body, which is the church. And we are the church. And so that we go to a gathering place so that we, the body, many members, can be together to fellowship with one another and communicate the things that God has done in and through us during every day. Okay? That is the way it really is. Okay, then what?
For any church to function properly, every member must do his or her part in a harmonious spirit of cooperation with the other members.
Right. If you see some people that call themselves members of the body of Christ and they're sitting around idle every day, they're not doing their part, okay? Or if they keep making up excuses. Hell, I've heard this term before, and I'll say it again, is paved with excuses. You know, you have to serve the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, not with excuses, all right? Because excuses won't make it with the Lord. He's not going to buy an excuse. Whatever part it is in the body of Christ that you are, you must participate in the activity of the Holy Spirit. If God's Spirit is in you, if Christ is in you with the Father, and by the Spirit, then he's moving in and through you. If you're yielded to him, he's not going to be sitting around. He's not going to be doing the hoochie-coo. He's not going to be doing rap, or gospel rap. You know, well, now why, I can just hear people saying now why would you want to ruin a young man's career? Well, I'd rather ruin his career than ruin the body of Christ or lead people astray. Amen?
Amen.
Stop this rap, you people. If you want, the Lord doesn't rap. He speaks through you. God has never rapped through me. Okay? Or he's never moved on me to get up there and gyrate around like some of these supposed to be people. No, they may be doing it in ignorance, but just repent and don't do it anymore. Amen? I don't want to see anybody lost. God doesn't want to see any of you lost. Jesus doesn't want to, who is God, and I don't want to see anybody lost. So just repent from all that nonsense. A lot of these people that have these big television shows, some of them are homosexuals, some of them are, Vatican sympathizers, the Pope and all these people. You say, well, how can you talk nasty about them? Well, I'm just telling the truth. Now, if that's nasty, well, then, you know, then you hate the truth. You'd rather have it that I cover for them? No, I'm supposed to be a covering for the Lord. I'm supposed to serve him and expose him and Satan and people that Satan is working in and people that the Lord is working in. I just want them to repent, that's all. Got nothing personal against them, you understand. Okay, now can you finish this off? Because I see my time is just about up here.
Had the church at Corinth learned this lesson, many of their problems would have been solved. Application. When Christians disrupt the harmony of a church, they bring reproach on the body of Christ. Matthew 16, chapter 16, verse 18. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against
okay.
it.
Okay, Peter means a rock, stone, but Jesus is the rock of ages, amen? Peter was given the keys to the kingdom of heaven because he had faith. He believed that the Holy Spirit told him that Jesus was the Christ, that Jesus is actually God. And you get the keys to the kingdom of heaven. There's every one of us gets a key to the kingdom of heaven that unlocks the door there because we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and we let him live in us and through us. That's the key. Okay? Everybody seems to think, or the Catholics seem to think, that he's the only one that has the key, and that he became the first pope. Peter would turn over in his grave if he could hear him saying that he was the pope. First of all, he was the only disciple that they stated was married. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And popes just don't get married. Most of them that I've heard of were homosexuals and child molesters, boys. They like boys. But anyway, I see, I hate ending on this note, okay? This is just not the best way to end the program, but I'm not ending it right yet. So right now, give me four different ways how to receive this tape. I'm going to show you how to have God's life living in you by prayer in just a minute. So here's four ways how to receive this tape or CD. Number 136.
Go to alamoministries.com, write Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax area code 479-782-7406.
All right, now, to have God's life living in you, to have Christ enter into you and give you the power with his Father by the Spirit, to overcome sin, Satan, and the world, and to enter into heaven, the first step is regeneration. And regeneration means that salvation, or that you're saved. And that happens when you call out to the Lord for salvation. Now, say this to the Lord so you can have salvation or regeneration. Say unto the Lord, "My Lord and my God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands and thank and praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right, well now, be sure to tune in tomorrow for a part 35 of How to Have God's Life Living You. Until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you, praise the Lord, and continue on in the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.